It is Maryland Morning on 88.1 WIPR. I'm Tom Hall. Last week, the League of American Symphony Orchestras held their national conference here in Baltimore around the theme of diversifying classical music in America. This week, at a festival in College Park, the focus is on the next generation of classical musicians and how they can not only diversify music racially, but also generationally. On Saturday night, the National Orchestral Institute in College Park continues with a concert led by Teddy Abrams, a dynamic young conductor who is the music director of the Louisville Orchestra. Since 1988, the Institute has been hosting young musicians who aspire to a professional career in classical music. They are accepted into the program after a rigorous audition process, and they spend about a month playing orchestral and chamber music under the tutelage of experienced professionals. Teddy Abrams is himself a pretty young guy. At 29, he is one of the youngest conductors on the scene today, and he has made it his mission to get more young people interested in attending classical concerts. He joins us on the phone from College Park. Morning, Teddy. How you doing?
Great. Thanks so much for having me.
Sure. Thanks for being with us. So diversity in American orchestras is certainly a problem, and so is attracting younger people. In my other life, I'm a classical musician. I've been conducting concerts for 40 years, and for most of those 40 years, I walk out on stages and I am greeted by a sea of white hair. What's the pitch to young people to start the habit of classical music?
Well, one of the things that I like to talk about is that the music world is so incredibly broad and diverse, and orchestras are a kind of connecting force between so many different ways of making music, different forms of making music, as opposed to being distinct and something that people have to, you know, kind of quote-unquote get into. And this has been a big part of my mission, is that, you know, the orchestral institution, the idea of an orchestra, is so broad, it's so huge, it's so spectacular. And there's no other kind of musical organization that can produce sounds like an orchestra. That should just be impressive in and of itself. And then it's about kind of taking that potential for sound and spreading that in, I think, the most diverse and open and accepting way. And one of the really incredible things about orchestral music is that it can dialogue and fit with so many different styles. Of course, just within what we call classical alone, the diversity between composers from, say, the late Renaissance and through Bach and Mozart, Beethoven, all the way up into Mahler and Stravinsky and Copland. I mean, that music alone is incredibly diverse. And then you think about the broad world of music beyond that orchestras can fit in with. And I think when you start to look at an orchestra more as kind of a hub for music making or a hub for creative art in a community, then you can start to get people really excited about what is really an institution that belongs to them wherever they happen to live.
The experience of the listener in a classical music concert is something that I've given a lot of thought to over the years. And it's interesting to me that it seems that that experience is incredibly passive. We waltz out on the stage, we turn, we face our orchestra, our chorus, we play music, and folks sit in the audience and they just sort of stare at us and listen. And it seems to me in a way that it's more passive and less kind of viscerally involved than the experience of theater, for example, when you've got people, you know, doing literal dialogue. What's your aspiration when you do a gig? What do you want the orchestra, or the audience rather, to understand, to feel, and to experience when they hear you perform?
Well, that's a very good point about what we're asking of our audiences. And in some cases, I don't think it needs to be that passive. I think that a concert, first of all, is a show. Of course, we're translating these powerful works of music, whatever they happen to be, from whatever era, from the source to the audiences, and that carries a certain amount of nobility and a very high level of artistic requirement to do this well. But on the other hand, it's still a show. Things need to be, I think, as dramatic as an exciting experience as we can possibly make them, and so. It is a challenge always to get that kind of dramatic balance between people having a really personal relationship with the art itself and whatever form that might take, but also creating an environment that's so engaged that people can't help but perhaps have an overwhelming experience with it. And I think for a very long time, a lot of musicians that would consider themselves classical haven't considered the overall experience of a concert, focusing only on the sound itself. And I don't mean that you're then supposed to be jumping up and down and dancing and pandering to anybody. That's the last thing that you'd want to do. But rather thinking about the overall kind of relationship that people are having, not just with the sound, but with every minute that they're involved in this performance, in this form of entertainment, which is such a core part of the musical experience. And it's actually one that would not be unfamiliar to composers like Haydn and Mozart. If you look at the way that a lot of music was played in their era, there was a kind of engaged, maybe kind of energized atmosphere in these concerts that resembles much more a modern jazz or indie rock venue, where there was a lot more kind of dialogue between the performers and the audience. And also, people were just crammed into smaller spaces. There weren't these kind of vast auditoriums where people felt quite far away from the music. And so I think about this all the time.
So is it the visual dimension that you're going to concentrate on then moving forward, to bringing people in? Is it the venue itself? I mean, here in Baltimore, we have a beautiful symphony hall. It seats 2,500 people. I mean, it's not an intimate place. It sounds great, but it's not an intimate place. Is the venue and the size of these venues across the country a big part of the challenge?
Well, I think they certainly could be, and part of what orchestras need to do is they need to experiment and try things. A lot of large arts organizations have basically, I'm not talking about orchestras exclusively, but I'm talking about orchestras, museums, ballet institutions, lots of these large, very kind of unwieldy arts groups often don't really put experimentation and research and development on the line. And R&D is the core of not just, I think, you know, any organization's success, but also people's personal success. You have to try things, you have to experiment, and so this relates directly to questions about venue, questions about visuals, questions about use of technology, or whether or not that could make sense or enhance something or detract from it. But we have to experience all of these different things and try things, and eventually I think we'll start to realize that the artistic and creative side of what we do is wide open to us, and it's not limited to simply being a recreative art where we essentially do something precisely the same way month after month or year after year. And so that's one of the really exciting things about living in this era, is that we can experiment with a totally different kind of venue, or we can experiment with collaborations between lots of different artists, which is not out of line or divergent from, I think, the same spirit of great composers of the past and the present. So
Teddy Abrams, he's the music director of the Louisville Orchestra, and on Saturday night, he'll lead the National Orchestral Institute Orchestra in a performance of Mahler's Titan Symphony, along with music of Debussy and Ravel. The show starts at 8 o'clock in the Clarice Smith Performing Arts Center on the campus of the University of Maryland in College Park. The following week, the festival will conclude with Osmo Venska of the Minnesota Orchestra conducting music of Sibelius. We've got a link to more information on our website, wypr.org/Maryland Morning. Teddy, break a leg this weekend. I appreciate the time. Thanks.
Thank you.
That's it for us today. Coming up next time, more focus on the arts. Award-winning choreographer Liz Lerman is leaving Baltimore to take a new position at the University of Arizona. And Donald Hicken is retiring after 36 years with the Baltimore School for the Arts. Dancer Sharana Christmas is leaving too. She's going on a trip to Cuba with students from her organization, Muse 360. We'll check in with all of them Friday morning on Maryland Morning. Until then, for Nathan Sterner and the entire Maryland Morning team, I'm Tom Hall. Garrison Keillor's up next with the Writer's Almanac. Thanks for listening. Have a great day.